Luke 8, beginning with the 26th verse. They sailed on to the country that I cannot pronounce, directly opposite of Galilee. And as Jesus stepped onto land, a madman met him. He was a victim of demons, and he hadn't worn clothes for a long time, nor lived at home. He lived in a cemetery. And when he saw Jesus, he fell before him and screamed and howled, "What business do you have messing with me? You are the Son of God, the Most High God. Don't give me a hard time." And the man had said this because Jesus had started to order out an unclean spirit. And time after time, the demon threw the man into convulsions. He had been placed under a constant guard and tied with chains and shackles. But crazed and driven by the wild demon, he would actually shatter the bonds. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Mob. My name is Mob." And he said this because many demons afflicted him. And they begged Jesus desperately not to order them into the bottomless pit. There was a large herd of pigs was grazing and rooting on a nearby hill. And the demons begged Jesus to order them into the pigs, so he gave the order. And it was even worse for the pigs than the man. Crazed, they stampede over the cliff and into the lake, and they were drowned. Who said scriptures without drama? Those tending the pigs were scared to death, bolted, and told their story in town and in the countryside. People went out to see what happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had been sent sitting there at Jesus' feet, wearing decent clothes and making sense. It was a holy moment, and for a short time, they were more reverent than curious. Then those who had seen it happen told how the demonic had been saved. Later, a great many people from that town I can't pronounce in the countryside got together and asked Jesus to leave. Too much change, too fast. Let me say that again. They asked Jesus to leave. Too much change, too fast. And they were scared. And so Jesus got back in the boat and set off. The man whom he had delivered from the demons asked to go with him, but Jesus sent him back saying, "Go home. Tell everything God did in you." And so he went back and preached all over town everything that Jesus had done. This is the good news of Jesus the Christ. All right. I'm going to set this up with some of the exegetical notes. Just because this is a, you know, this is drama at its best. Amen. I mean, can you imagine yourself sitting there watching this in a movie and watching this crazed individual come running out to Jesus, acting all kinds of crazy? In today's world, had that been a religious leader and a crazed individual come running at that religious leader the way they had, there'd have been armed guards to tackle. You know, this is like what you do when you go to a baseball game and you see that fool that decides to throw off all his clothes and run across the field, amen? Sure. And you got five security guards trying to trap him on a large baseball field. But here, I thought that the historical content of this story is important, and then I can give you a couple of theological nuggets to take home. Obviously, this is an unusual story. It is set for Jesus' compassion for the one that was chained and living among the tombs. It is important that we recognize where this man was in the tombs. He had been kicked out of his community. And Jesus' exorcism of the demons afflicting this man who lived among the tombs seems at once puzzling and bizarre. If you all were sitting here listening to this morning, I'm sure you thought that. We can only speculate how to identify the man's specific illness. And I think that that's a good point, because remember, back at Jesus' time, they weren't advanced. They didn't know I've lost the word.
Schizophrenia?
No. Epilepsy. They didn't know what epilepsy was. They didn't understand some of the medical, mental stuff and how it caused people to react. If anybody was just off base, this is really important for the setup of the story, is if anybody was off base, in other words, if they were the least bit abnormal, they were kicked out. They were no longer part of the community. And understand how important it was to be a community in order to survive. Because the community worked together, they fed each other, they took care of the elderly, they did all of those things. And yet, here was this guy who had some kind of mental health issue going on, and their answer, rather than keep him in and try to love him, was to send him to the cemetery. Whether this story is actually true or not, is of little consequence, I think, to what we're really going to talk about today. Jesus confronted whatever the demons were. The reaction created a panic in the pigs. Jesus' conversation with the demons about their name, in the original translations, it's legion, and their desire not to be sent back to the abyss, which is to be rejected. It sounds like fiction, does it not? The abyss was a prison where Satan and the demons were believed to dwell for eternity. Popular belief at that time also held that this is where they were kept while waiting for their ultimate banishment. Demons wandered the earth in search of dwelling places. That's how people became possessed, or so they thought. It is, I think, if you take this scripture seriously, difficult to understand how Jesus sent the man home to tell his neighbors that their pigs had been drowned. Because now, remember where he was. He was not in Jewish territory. He was in territory that would be considered Gentiles, those that were not Jewish. And pigs were what? Their source of income. Hello? And they all went over a cliff. Now, you know, the whole practical thing is, this guy was raising so much cane that, in fact, the pigs may have been startled and ran over the cliff on their own.
Jesus, dude.
You know, or there could have been something about it. And quite frankly, that's why I talked about evil. Because here's a piece of this. Whether this story is actually word for word correct, it does tell us something. And that is that evil exists no matter where we go. And we have two choices. We can either, when we're faced with evil and the people that are evil, toss them out of our community and hope it goes away. Amen. And aren't we kind of doing that now with so many different events in the world? We've got a world leader of a big country that invaded another country and is killing people left and right. Children are starving. And what are we doing? We're sitting on our hands, folks.
Come on, we gave you a gun.
Don't want to start an incident.
Amen. How about going downtown? People are caught shoplifting and we're putting them in jail. Why are they shoplifting? Because they're hungry. They haven't been able to get anything to eat. There was a guy in Decatur, okay, homeless, and he was figuring out a way that he could watch how he could get into the church. Amen? And when he was getting into the church, you know what he was doing? He was going into a restroom to be able to take somewhat of a bath. Unfortunately, his timing on that was not good because he was getting in there and coming out about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. People are starting to arrive for church, and everybody, I guess, when you have a stranger half naked in a place they're not supposed to be, you know, they grab the children and start running. It isn't any different with this guy. And so we had to sit there. Pastor James and I talked about, what do you got to do? Well, you know, you got to tell the police, right? But then the other side of that is, do you want them to go to jail or do you want them to give them some help? You know, it's called meeting the need. So here's the deal, and this is why I should have changed the name of the sermon. Because it occurred to me that this whole story is about reinstatement. Because every one of us listening today have somehow or another been affected by evil, or we've thought to have done evil things, amen? Either because we were mad, we were irritated, or somebody did something bad to us and we got revenge, etc., etc., etc. And it's always been the attitude that if somebody is evil or if there's evil things, that the only way to deal with it is to take it out. Get rid of it. Ignore it, if you will. And yet Jesus comes into this situation, and this guy had a behavior that nobody understood, and so their answer was to kick him out of the community. And Jesus' resound answer was, no, don't do that. Deal with the issue and love the man. Amen? That is reinstatement. That's why people, have you ever noticed that when you start doing really good things, you know, and you're doing this or that, that is helpful to people, that all of a sudden you start getting criticism, right? Or people get annoyed with you. The other day, I was coming home from work, and traffic on Columbia was just, it was long, right? You had to stop. And there's a business off to my left as I'm coming down. It's a driveway. People are trying to get out. Traffic is jammed in both spots. So what did I do? When I got to the driveway, I stopped. Ho, 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 ho. You would have thought I committed a crime. I had people beeping their horn at me. And one guy got so mad that he actually pulled out to the right of me to go up the side of the road and almost hit a pedestrian. This is all that stuff that this story talks about. We are surrounded by evil. But the only way we're going to get past it is if we get into this whole idea that Jesus taught from the beginning of his ministry, which is what? Love each other as I have loved you. So no matter what this guy was doing, no matter how crazy he may have seemed, Jesus had two messages. One to the man, you are reinstated. And to the community, this guy is reinstated. Love him. And of course, the response I thought was priceless. That's why I gave that as the sermon verse. Hold it. You're changing the way we do things. Stop it. It means that we got to change the way we think. So stop it. Just get out of here. Go away. We don't need these changes. It's too fast. Folks, we've been 2,000 years since Jesus was on this earth. These are not changes that are coming too fast. But if you want your democracy, if you want your community, if you want to live in a world that doesn't self-destruct, then pay attention to this story and reinstate people back into your lives. Reinstate those things that are about love. And quit concentrating on the negative. Because there's always an answer to overcoming evil. Love overcomes evil in all cases. God bless you this morning.